Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
NordVPN.com/Fightful
makes my browsing experience better. Way better than yours if you don't use it. Why? Because I can block online trackers. I can block annoying pop-up ads and malware. I can browse safely, securely, wherever I am, even if I'm right here on all my devices. This laptop, actually this is a desktop. What am I saying? But this laptop right here, this phone right here, that router over there, the TV over there, all with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can also save on pay-per-views. Maybe you want to check out AEW without commercials. Maybe you miss the old WWE Network. Maybe you want to buy a big UFC pay-per-view with an overseas service at a much more affordable rate. NordVPN.com/Fightful not only has you covered, but when you get one of their plans, you're effectively going to save yourself money. And I'm going to save you some more. 4 months free on top of that deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here with a name you know. Even though he doesn't do many of these, I'm a member of the two-timers club here. A rare Ricky Shane Page interview. How you doing, man? Good to hear from you again.
Good. I'm doing good. I mean, yeah, I don't really like doing interviews that much, so.
I know, and I always feel like privileged when I get a Ricky Shane Page interview, which has happened twice now because I know that you don't do many of these. But I mean, you got big career changes going on. You're with MLW now. I'm excited to learn how exactly this came about.
Yeah, I mean, I did the Battle Riot last year. That was my first time coming and working for them, and then yeah, they asked me back earlier this year, and I think. When was it? February, January? I can't remember now. My brain is all over the place. But yeah, it just kind of happened. It happened real fast. The one before the last tapings, I had the craziest travel schedule of my like entire career.
Yeah.
And I showed up and they were like, hey, you're doing this and this and this and this. And I was like, what? Okay. And I just kind of did it. And I didn't really like clock what was going on, and then the next show we were doing more stuff, and I was like, man, they're really like, I'm doing a lot, like this is kind of cool. And then they offered me the contract and I was like, oh, it kind of happened out of nowhere, to be honest.
Yeah, so I mean, when that happened, I mean, you're the type of guy that I don't think anybody would be surprised to learn that any company offered you a contract given your resume and your level of work in the ring. So MLW, I hit them up immediately after I heard that, and I was like, please tell me more. And they were really excited to have you, but they also mentioned you're going to be helping doing like some agenting work as well.
Yeah. I guess I didn't know if they were going to go public with that or not, but yes, I am. I will be working backstage as well.
So, I mean, I get the feeling, and it's just my assumption, that given your place in wrestling and how experienced you are and the places you've been, that's probably something that you've helped out with either formally or informally places before anyway.
Yes. Both. So usually it just happens to where I'm at shows and people will come up and ask me to watch their matches, or, you know, friends of mine that are on television will come up and ask me to listen to their match and make sure, you know, everything's cool. And then actually for Progress, I think SummerSlam weekend, pre-pandemic, they brought me in to age in all the matches. And I didn't even wrestle for them. I just did that backstage. So, and I've done it before when the last couple tours I've done for Progress, I've wrestled and done that. So a little bit of a player coach situation. But yeah, I really enjoy doing it. It's very fun. It's a skill set that I think I'm good at, and that I feel like more wrestlers should learn this and learn how to do it, because you can't take bumps forever. So,
and I like seeing active performers doing that even more, because it's always great to get, you know, get people who are out of wrestling as well. But something that I've heard a lot, like for an example, Arya Daivari doing it, people are like, well, it's great because he is completely in tune with the style and pace of today as well. So we got a bit of everything. Like what was it about that that really appealed to you and said, hell yeah, I'll do that as well?
Like I said, I've always really liked doing it, and it just happens to me naturally anyways. People always ask me to help them with their matches, so I might as well get like paid for it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoy doing it. I always have better ideas for other people than I do myself half the time, because people can do things that I can't. So I'm very limited being so big. I want to be a cruiserweight, but it's just not in the cards. So I'll have like much better ideas for other people. And when you're in the match playing it, you kind of get stuck and you're like, okay, this is like an RSP match. I have to do it the way I do it. And, but when I'm looking at it through someone else and it has nothing to do with me, I just become a little bit more creative.
You mentioned the Battle Riot. I'm a geek for Battle Royals. I love them. I don't care how terrible they are. I don't care how boring they are. I love them. I grew up loving the Royal Rumble so much, and that's a lot of like what the Battle Riot is. What was that experience like for you? Because it's one of those things where you'll see Taya Valkyrie in there. You'll see Gangrel in there. Savio Vega's going to pop up there doing two or three different things. Like, it's just a lot of fun. It appeals to my ADHD that I was diagnosed with when I was younger, because it's constant, it's excitement, but also it can be chaotic to put together or be a part of as well.
100%, especially for like a TV product. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it, because the announcers have to be on point, the camera people have to be on point, the agents have to be on point, the wrestlers have to be on point. It's just like a big team effort.
Yeah.
And it was super fun, because again, there's a lot of people that I know at MLW and a lot of people I respect, and you know, guys like Savio Vega and like Nunzio and stuff like that, like people I just was a fan of when I was younger. So very chaotic, very crazy, but it came off without a hitch, and I think it turned out really well, and I really liked my part in it. And yeah, it's just, but, and I got to like, you know, be in there with like Sami Callihan, who's like a friend of mine that I've known forever, and Killer Cross, who became a good friend of mine recently. So like,
great guy.
It was just yeah, I love him. He's the best. And it was just kind of cool to be in there, and just, especially like when you're in a battle royal with like some of your friends, you just kind of start joking around, saying weird stuff while you're in there, because you know, it's not like physically taxing too much. Most of the time you're just like trying to throw someone out. So but yeah, it's just fun. I love battle royals too.
Sami Callihan, who I bury him privately to him, because he'll always hit me up to retweet Revolver stuff. But when I say, hey, what's up with that contract, man? When's that contract up? He's like, what are you talking about? I don't know, Sammy. What contract am I talking about, Sammy? I don't know. love that guy. He's great. Like, he's in Revolver. He books the hell out of those shows.
Yeah, he's the worst with talking to him. Like, if you need something, you'll be like, yo, Sammy. And he won't answer you for days. And then, like, randomly he'll text you about something else that he's doing. And I'm like, bro, what about when I texted you a week ago and asked you this question and now you won't answer me? But yeah, Sammy's the best.
Oh, he's great.
Revolver's killing it. I mean, yeah, they're doing so well. Those shows are awesome. And they're, like, packing houses. Like, it's really cool.
Another awesome thing you did recently, you got to go to Japan, and I remember you I feel like you went there maybe once or twice right before the pandemic. I feel like you were there shortly before the pandemic and maybe a little bit before that as well. But obviously, when what happens happens, you ain't going there. Like, I know a lot of people who wanted to get over there and just couldn't for a couple of years. What did that mean to you to be able to get back to Japan?
Yeah, it was awesome. I honestly didn't think I was ever going to go back. I went 5 times in 2019.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? a lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Wow, geez, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I did a lot of tours over there that year, and then I've gotten to go back twice since this most recent tour. So yeah, I really didn't think I was ever gonna go back, and I really didn't think I was gonna go back because I stopped doing death matches. So
yeah.
I was like, oh, like there's no way like another company's gonna like bring me over for that. So I'm just so surprised that I got to go again, to be honest. And I love Japan. It's like one of my favorite places I've ever been. So like just being able to go there and experience the culture again. And this time I had a little bit more time. Like when I went before with BJW, I'd be there for like 2 weeks and I'd have like 10 shows.
Yeah.
So this time I was there for like a month and I had like, I think 10 or 12 shows. So I had a little bit more time to like explore Tokyo. And I was actually in Tokyo this time. Like before I was always in Yokohama, which is about 40 minutes outside of Tokyo. So I got to like really see Tokyo a lot. And we did a show in Osaka and Kyoto. So I had more time there too. So we had like a little bit of time to walk around and like actually see stuff. So the BJW schedule was really, really hectic and they do it quick and fast, but the DDT schedule was a little bit more lax. So I got to experience more this time.
Yeah, I loved seeing that you were back there. And again, like, there were so many people that wanted to go there the last few years and didn't get that opportunity. You had mentioned that you stopped doing death matches. I remember you posted that publicly. You're like, hey, nothing against it. Just I'm going to move on from that. How did you feel like the reception was from fans who came to know you via death matches or really loved that work? Did you feel like they were understanding or did you get any blowback from it? Or was it how was it?
I think both. I think that people really enjoyed me doing that and it was something I was very good at, and I think that a lot of people were like, hey man, you did your time, like you did everything that there is to do in deathmatch wrestling, like you don't owe us anything anymore. So I think it was a bit of a mixed bag. I'd say more positive than negative. And I think people just miss me doing that because deathmatch wrestling fans are like rabid and they're loyal.
Sure.
So I think they just miss it, but like, yeah, I just couldn't do it anymore. It was too hard. The healing process was just way too much. And like, I could feel myself being afraid, which I never was before.
Yeah.
I could feel myself kind of going like, oh God, no, no. And that's when someone gets hurt. Like not even myself, like other people. If I have any sort of hesitation, like I will hurt somebody and I don't want to hurt anybody. the risks are so much greater in deathmatch wrestling, and I don't think people really understand that. Even some of the people that are doing them, they think it's like easier, or you just kind of do whatever you want, and it's like, no, you have to take even more care. And so I just didn't want to hurt anybody, and honestly,
I have a theory as to why you signed with MLW.
Okay.
You needed the extra work because Ethan Page moved to the United States and did not require a toy mule.
That's, you know what? Probably. I still have a bunch of his toys here because I haven't seen him. Even though he lives like 2 hours from me.
Yeah, he's not far.
No, he's not far at all. I just haven't seen him because he's busy, I'm busy. But I still have a bunch of toys that I just haven't got to give them to him yet. I haven't even been to his new house yet. I need to get up to Michigan and go see him.
He bought it in Detroit, right?
Somewhere outside. I'm not exactly sure where.
I was going to say, he's going to get
in that area.
He's going to get a 5,000 square foot house for like $20 out there. Like, it's
for sure. I randomly had to go to Detroit like for an indie show, as RPW show, and it was like day of kind of decision.
Yeah.
And I did like this run in and I cut a promo, and he before I got home, he texted me. He's like, "You're in Michigan?" And I was like, "Yes." He's like, "Why did you tell me?" I was like, "Bro, I just found out about it today. Like, it just came together. Like, I'm driving straight back home." He's like, "Fuck you." Like, I was just like, "Bro, I'm sorry. I haven't seen the house yet." But yeah, it's very funny.
one of my favorite, like, I want to say interviews. It was more of a conversation where it was like you, him, and MJF. Was that the one where MJF was showing off his football highlights?
Yes, and when he kept going, "That's me."
Yes, yes. That's me. With the circles and stuff around it.
Yeah, and Hulk Hogan's music playing.
Yeah, of course. Of course it did. He for sure, he didn't buy that off iTunes. He didn't license that. He was pirating that for sure. For sure. Speaking of AEW, you had the opportunity to work a few matches there, specifically against Paul White, which is what I'm interested in, or as I call him, Tall Paul. Yes. How was that experience? I mean, I know that a lot of those matches were kind of abbreviated, but I mean, that's one that almost everybody that's in wrestling right now grew up watching Paul White because he's been everywhere.
Yeah, that is a crazy story just in general of how it came together. So that was the first Arthur Ashe show. Mm-hmm. So there was like 20,000 people there.
I was there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, it was wild. So like the day before the show, MJF called me and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing tomorrow?" And I was like, "Nothing." "Why?" He's like, "Can you be in New York?" And I was like, "Sure." He was like, I'm probably going to get him in trouble, but he was like, "I told them you were in New York already and they need guys." And I was like, "Okay." So I literally went spray tanned. I took a shower, spray tanned, packed my bag, and just drove overnight to New York. And I slept on Ethan Page's hotel room floor. And I woke up the next morning and I was having the free continental breakfast for a room that I didn't have at the hotel. Thank you, Tony Khan. but I was eating, and Aubrey, the ref, came up to me and she was like, "Oh, hey, do you know what you're doing today?" And I was like, "No." She's like, "You're wrestling Paul White." I was like, "Shut the fuck up." I was like, "No, I'm not." And she was like, "Oh yeah." And I was like, okay. And like, that's literally how it happened. So shout out MJF. He's always looking out for me. He's the best. And so it was so cool. Like, Paul's great, super good brother. Everybody at AEW is super nice. Like, I don't have anything bad to say about my time there. They were so good to me, and Tony was so nice and very he was just there, you know, like you could go up and talk to him. Like, a lot of times I would just stand in the gorilla position and kind of watch him direct the show because I'm very interested in that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Never. He was always cool with me standing there, you know, because it's just an extra. I'm kind of in the way. But he'd let me sit there. I kind of watched him do things, and super cool environment. Like, everybody was really rad. Like, and I got to wrestle some, you know, my childhood, you know.
I've always been told, like, because I'll try to ask and bug everybody, like, what's the line of thinking behind this, this, and this? And I was always told you can tell, like, what they think of repeat people who are there based on who they're booked against on those types of shows. So you're facing Matt Hardy, you're facing Paul White, you're facing Jon Moxley, people like that. It's like, well, that gives you a pretty good indication of who wants to work with them, what they value of them. It's like the old Sean Waltman test, too. They would say, he would be like, "This guy's the shits, don't bring him back." And if you saw them back and they had worked with him, well, that's a pretty good indicator. So I thought it was a pretty good indicator of how they viewed you based on who you were booked against.
for sure. They like I got great matches there. Like I got to wrestle Dante, Darby, Kingston, Moxley, Matt Hardy, like, you know, the Dark Order. Like I think they knew that I wasn't going to hurt anybody and that I'm professional, because a lot of times, you know, they're meeting these guys day of, you know, so it's a bit hard to sometimes you just don't know. So even like one of the times I was in a match and like all the guys in Dark Order knew who I was, but then like the other two in the match, like people didn't really know who they were. Especially one, his name's Andrew Palace. He's from Pittsburgh. And I remember just telling the guys in Dark Order, like, hey, it's cool. He's good. Like, don't worry about it. Like, yeah. he's not going to hurt you guys. So like, I think that comes up a little bit. So yeah, I always got put in good spots. Like I remember the one time I wrestled Danny Garcia, at the Dark tapings in Orlando. And, before I went out, like Tony Khan got up and goes, hey man, like you guys have never wrestled each other. I was like, yeah, no, we haven't. He's like, I was trying to find a match of you guys wrestling on the indies. He's like, couldn't find one. I was like, I couldn't believe that you guys have never worked. I was like, yeah. He's like, that's why I booked this match. Like, have fun. I was like, oh, thanks, man. So like, this is a really cool environment. Like very, very, I very much enjoyed my time there.
It felt like you worked there like all over the map too, like on the east side. Cause otherwise they'll bring in people from like California when they're out there. But I mean, like you're working in several different states, and there are some people they'll only bring in Florida, in Texas, and the like. So I thought that was great. And even though you said it might get MJF in trouble, when I write the headline, MJF lied to AEW, that Grinch, hit the Grinch smile will pop up on his face. Like he'll love that. Like he absolutely loves that shit.
Max has always been great to me. Like he always looks out for me, and like I can't repay him enough.
Well, Max is an asshole, but his dad sends me paleo bagels, so that's nice. Like, I love the bagels.
I'm friends with his dad on Facebook.
He's wonderful.
He's the best. His mom's really nice too.
So
I can't believe they produced that spawn.
I know, right? I was at a show one time, and one of my friends, she was getting ready for like a pageant or something, and she's like, man, I miss eating bagels. And I was like, MJF's dad makes paleo bagels. You should try them out. And she loved them. So I go and I see her like in the hallway there, and Steven walks out, and for the, like probably the first time ever, he wasn't recognized as MJF's dad. She goes, oh my God, are you the Pagel King? And this dude's face just lit up, and he's like, you're damn right I am. I am.
That's great.
That was like probably the coolest thing about that pay-per-view weekend was seeing that. It was wonderful. But we mentioned like the Paul White thing, your AEW experience, your MLW run, all that. Did Impact, NWA, anybody like that ever reach out to you? Because you seemed like the type of person that I think they could, or I'm shocked they didn't bring in to create a little buzz.
There was always like talk of Impact, like through like Sammy and other friends. Because again, sure. I just have friends everywhere. Like I've been wrestling for so long and I try not to be an asshole. So
yeah.
I have quite a few friends. It was always talked about. There was always like hints of ideas, but nothing concrete, nothing solid. I just feel like there's a lot of wrestlers out there, and there's a lot of people getting contracts, and sometimes you just get lost in the shuffle. And again, I'm not 20, so I totally get it. Like even at AEW, like I was never like mad or anything like that. It was just like, I get it. They got a lot going on. Same thing with Impact. You know, they're a growing company. They got a lot going on. Like sometimes you're just not number one on the list, which is I'm cool with, you know what I mean? But I like where I've ended up. I'm very much excited about the future of MLW and how like I can be able to help backstage and just help the product grow and take it to the next level. I'm very much into like growth and being a part of that growth, you know. So I'm very happy with ending up at MLW.
Yeah, and even with like MLW, I think it would have been more of a fit for MLW and Impact than in NWA. But like when I think about that, I'm like, it wouldn't have shocked me to see like you and Atticus and Greg all pop up there as a unit, because you all have created what you created outside of the auspices of nationally televised stuff. And usually companies are like, let me get my hands on that whole thing.
So I've never publicly talked about this, but so right maybe a few weeks before the pandemic started, I was hit up by Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay.
And what they were like, hey, can you come to this date? And I was like, no, I'm going to be in Japan. And they're like, okay. And then I pitched to the booker at the time. I was like, hey, what do you think about me and my faction coming in, like, you know, I think we could really do some cool stuff. We can, like, you know, hop the rail, come in, whatever. And they were like, oh, well, who's in it? And I gave them the rundown of everything. And then, like, didn't hear back. And then, like, a week later, the pandemic started. So
was that around the time when, like, Effie and AJ popped up in ROH?
So that was, like, during the pandemic.
Okay,
that was
yeah.
So this was pre. This was
okay.
2019.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. End of 2019, the beginning of 2020. Before the pandemic even started.
Gosh, it was. I've got no concept of time during that pandemic. For some reason, I thought it was right before that. But I do remember they were trying to undergo some, like, changes multiple times, like, around the pandemic as well, because they knew that with AEW in the fold, they had to step it up. They had to do some different things. But I mean, is that something that you look back at and you're like, damn, wish that would have happened? Or is it something where you're like, what the hell could have happened? The world was going to go the way that it went.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just for myself, because I was such a fan of Ring of Honor, I definitely wish it would have happened. And obviously, sure, I wish the pandemic didn't happen, because... But on the other hand, the pandemic was very good for me. Like, I thrived in 2020. Like, I had way more matches than I should have. And, like, a lot of my storyline stuff at the time, like, really took off. So it was a blessing in that way. But, man, it would have been sick to just, like, hop the rail at a Ring of Honor show with the 440 boys and get in there and just start beating somebody down. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been absolutely insane. So I wish it happened, but I'm also glad that everything went the way it did.
The way that you all have been able to just get heat is just amazing, because it's one of those situations where people love watching you, but they really enjoy being on the ride of absolutely hating you. And that is unique. And you see it a little bit more outside of WWE, where people were so starved for just entertaining characters in general that they'd latch onto anything. But I don't feel like there's any shortage of that where you've been. So the fact that people were along for the ride for it, like, did you get anybody that was maybe a little too passionate? It was like, maybe, because you would do things specifically, like, that could, like, blur that line, you know?
For sure. I remember the one GCW show. I think we might have talked about this last time, but it was Run, Ricky, Run.
Yeah.
It was when me and Gage were finally going to have our first, like, singles match for the belt. There were so many people there. That crowd was in Atlantic City. And they were just rowdy that night. And I remember right before we came out, I just looked back at the 440 boys and I was like, hey, don't let anybody fuck with you. Fuck these motherfuckers. and they were all like, they all got, like, really jacked up when I
love
said
it.
That. And so we walked out and nobody would ever touch me because I'm so much bigger than everybody, I guess.
Sure.
But for some reason, they'd always push on the 440 boys because they're all kind
of
short.
Of course.
So, like, I remember just turning around, and I remember seeing the 440 boys just being, like, pushing people left and right. And then when I won and the riot happened where they threw all the garbage in the ring, like, it was wild. And when we were leaving, people started pushing us and trying to, and I remember somebody was messing with Eddie Only, and, I came over and I remember I just put my hand on their chest just like this. And I have this move that I do. It's an old school. This is an old school vet trick. You just kind of put your hand on someone's chest. And when they push against it, you just go like that and you pop them in the jaw.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, put my hand on him. He was like trying to hit us and he was pushing on me. And I just popped him in the jaw a little bit. And he was like, whoa. And I was like, don't touch us, man. Like, get out of here. So we kind of had a little bit fight our way out of that one. But that was probably the most intense it got, to be honest.
So when you come into MLW, like this most recent run, you're immediately put with Mance. Like, what, when you're told that, what's your reaction? Because, I mean, you had what I thought was one of your best matches ever was with Mance. Been in the ring with him a whole lot. Like, was that one of those, hell yeah, I'm knocking this out of the park things?
100%. I think Mance Warner is the most underutilized, wrongly booked person on the indies. Like, the fact that people aren't giving him a run the way he deserves, like, he should have won the GCW belt at some point. Like, me and him should have went further with our stuff at GCW. That match we had in Atlantic City was one of my favorite matches, and we literally got people in 2021 to bite on a dusty finish. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, I honestly, truly think that people really dropped the ball with Mance Warner, and I'm glad to see that MLW is picking it up and trying to do something with him. And I absolutely love wrestling him. We just have good chemistry. Like, I'm never worried about it. And, you know, obviously he has a promo. I have a promo. It's just like, I just feel like when me and Mance are in the ring, there's just money to be made.
Yeah, when I saw that was on the tapings, I immediately went back to Cage of Death. Like that was the one that stuck out in my head. And, I mean, you guys have been in the ring with each other through a variety of situations. I can't remember if you, because I can't remember the show itself that much, but you got to work the Ric Flair's Last Match show.
Yes, I did.
which I was there throughout that week, and, you know, I broke a lot of the stories about the show itself, and it was wild. I mean, they went out to make it happen.
Memorabilia from that show.
Please.
So a friend of mine used to wrestle at Beyond back in the day. He's a huge Ric Flair fan. And so I got to do the show, and he was like, hey, can you like get me something from the show? Like even the confetti that they dropped down on the ceiling. And I was like, I got you. So I went around and I picked up this.
Oh, that's great.
So I have this. I got two of them. One, I kept one for myself, and I put it in a frame. And then I got another one for him. It just is a gorilla position to show you where to go backstage. I took one of those. Yeah, Conrad has always been like super cool with me.
He's great.
We had Eric Bischoff film a little thing for us one time for 440. It was like he said, like the following announcement is paid for by the 440. And that was I just asked Conrad. I was like, hey, can you ask Eric to do this? Like it could even be like a webcam, him sitting down for your guys' podcast. Like, I don't care. And I have like a 2 or 3 minute long video of Eric Bischoff saying this, the following announcement is paid for by the 440, like 15, 16 different ways. And there's like a green screen behind him with like the 440 logo. Like Conrad just went above and beyond. And I remember Conrad just reached out to me and was like, hey, do you want to do something on the show? And I was like, absolutely. And so he asked me to do that, and I was in the battle royal, and I remember him being like, hey, I'm really sorry that you're only in the battle royal. And I was like, dude, it's fine. Like don't need to be like it, this is like murderer's row of like
it was a good wrestling. One
yeah that yeah. Show was awesome. And like I was like, just the fact that I'm even here. And I said the only thing I want is I've never been to StarCast. Like, can I get a hotel room for the whole weekend? And I drove down because I wanted to drive because I had been flying a lot that recently. And I was like, I can't get on another plane right now. And Nashville's not that far from me. So I drove down. He had me a nice hotel for the whole weekend. I went to StarCast, hung out, went to the roast, and just like it was a super cool weekend. Like,
it was a good time.
And I remember at the end, they were like gathering everybody up, and they're like, hey guys, go out there. Just go stand by the ring. For Flair's like, you know, a retirement speech. I was like, all right, cool. Then Flair was like outside the ring, and I was like, what do you want us to do? They're like, just go out there. So like me and Blake Christian just happened to be like the first people to walk out. So we walked around the ring, and we just ended up standing behind him. So the whole time he's talking, like just me and Blake Christian are standing there. And like I remember sitting there and being like, this is really weird. And then I like looked over and I was like, oh, that's The Undertaker and Bret Hart. I was like, oh, and Foley. I was like, oh, my God. Like, what is going on? It was wild.
It's so wild.
There was people backstage. I remember I literally, like, actually bumped into Kid Rock. Like, I physically.
I did not know that he was there.
He was just hanging out. So I, like, was coming around this corner, and I bumped into someone. And I was like, oh, my bad. And I like looked up, and it was Kid Rock. And
WWE
and
like, Hall of Famer Kid Rock.
And I bumped into him, and I looked, and I was like, oh, what the fuck? And he started laughing, and I was like, yo, my bad, dude. He's like, no. He's like, there's too many people over here. I was like, yo, Jeff Jarrett's over there, like, in his locker room. Go say hi. He's like, oh, for real? He was like, yeah. So he, like, walked away. But I, like, actually bumped into Kid Rock. It was
just a couple,
such a surreal moment.
Just a couple of Southern music stars right there, Jeff Jarrett and Kid Rock. You love it. But yeah, I always found it weird that Kid Rock was like, yeah, Southern rock. He could piss into Canada from his back porch, I think.
100%.
So I'm like, he's out there living next to Ethan Page right now somewhere. Mm-hmm. My God.
Show was crazy.
You mentioned that gorilla position thing that you have. Are there any other like sentimental things that you've kept or anything that you've come across that you're like, Hell yeah, I got to keep that.
I have a lot of stuff, and most of it's in the storage downstairs. I've only recently started to get a bit sentimental about stuff because sometimes I'm like, oh, man, I've done so much stuff, but I really don't. Like, I'm not a big collector. I don't keep things.
Yeah.
The few things that I have are mostly just, like, personal wrestling stuff. But I'm trying to think if there's anything cool.
I was able to give a guy who I called his MMA fight, and he – knocked a guy out, and the dude's blood got all over my notes. I was able to give the guy that knocked him out the notes, and he was like, fuck yeah.
That's cool.
Like, there are some cool things. Like, I think the Omega Callahan match, some of the thumbtacks rolled out towards me, and I just picked up a couple and kept them. I was like, this is a cool memory.
I have actually Marcus Crane, before he passed, gave me a glove that Danny Havoc used to wear when he did death matches.
Oh,
So I have that. I have one of Danny Havoc's gloves that he used to wear. Because it's funny because when I was doing death matches back then, Danny would always be like, wear gloves. And I'm like, man, nah, I don't do that. Like, and I remember my hands just getting shredded. And so eventually I started wearing gloves, and I had seen him once before he had passed, and he was like, I knew you were going to start wearing gloves. I was like, yeah, bro, I should have listened to you. I was like, my hands were messed up. So I'm glad that I have that. So that's something. I'm sure there's more stuff. I just can't. 22 years of wrestling and just stuff being thrown in a box somewhere. Like, I'm sure I got plenty of stuff.
Of course.
Yeah, but those are the gorilla position one I thought was really cool, and that glove's pretty neat too.
As we start to wrap up, MLW on Reels every Tuesday, guys, make sure you check that out. Dan the Dad told us that you were the first person to take the dad joke. I would love to hear how that was, like, maybe pitched to you. Because I think maybe some people that aren't familiar, like, to a wide degree of your work think death matches, you know, the 440 stuff. For sure. They're like, really? Him?
Yeah, I can't. Well, so Dan used to come up to Alpha One, Ethan Page's promotion in Canada, before he started doing the gimmick. And it was, like, just talked about, like, jokingly in the back. And I remember me and Ethan Page being like, dude, do this gimmick. Like, do this gimmick. It's, like, it's really good. Like, and I remember, too, we even had, like, a side, like, a heel character for him to do, where he was his stepdad, Dan.
Yes.
And where he wore, like, a pair of jeans and, like, a leather jacket, and he'd be like, yeah, I'm taking your mother out, like, you know, stuff like that.
He's got a half-empty bottle of Budweiser, not Bud Light, Budweiser, smoking a cigarette.
Exactly. But I think, if I remember correctly, he just, like, said he had, like, an idea, and he didn't know if it would work, and he just pitched it to me, and I think I died laughing. I was like, yo, that's hilarious. I was like, yes, of course you can do that. If I'm not mistaken, I think that might have been a scramble for Freelance Wrestling, and we all were on the apron, and it was like two at a time, like an old school Ring of Honor scramble, the way they should be done, young people, if you don't know what I'm talking about. But anyways, so I remember, like, Dan was on the apron, and they were just like, they wanted Dan in so bad, like, so bad. And it was at Logan Square Auditorium, which is a great venue, always good crowds. And I remember when Dan got tagged in, it was so loud that, like, the ring was vibrating from noise. Like,
I love,
like,
it.
The room was, like, shaking. I got chills from it. I'm kind of getting chills thinking about it now. It was such a loud reaction when he got tagged in. So, yeah, Dan the Dad's the man.
I was so happy. Like, so happy to see that make it onto TV. And,
Sure.
One of our interviewers, like, popped me. He goes, did you check on Toa Leona afterwards and, like, apologize for working stiff? I loved it. It was so good. I love that fun place like that absolutely has a place in wrestling as well. And, I mean, God, we see all the stuff Danhausen's doing on a weekly basis.
Of course.
As well. But tell the people where they can follow you on social media, all that good stuff. Of course, MLW on Reels every single week.
Yes, MLW, Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Right on. It's on right after Live Patrol or Cops, I think. So if you're looking, you know, if you're in there watching Cops getting all sweaty, and just keep on rolling, and then watch MLW. I'm at Ricky Shane Page on everything, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that jazz. I actually just started a new thing that I wouldn't mind plugging if it's okay.
Hell yeah, absolutely.
I started a very small indie promotion where it's for young students to learn how to wrestle. And it won't be streamed to the world, because I think that people don't get a chance to fail because they have to fail in front of the world on Fight TV, and it's just, it's not really conducive to learning. So I've started a new promotion where everything's behind a paywall on Patreon. So if there's any fans that want to watch it, you have to be a part of the Patreon to be able to see any of it. And it, and they're just going to have like a safe place to like learn and grow. So just go to rcwwrestling.net, and that's the Patreon, and the first show is in Cleveland. The room only holds about 50 people, so that's all going to be locals, but it's just something, that little passion project that I'm really into right now, and I kind of want people to get involved with it and be on the ground floor of like helping some younger wrestlers learn the craft, and like I said, just have a safe place to fail and to get better.
Guys, you'll be able to check that out in the link in the description below or at the bottom of the article that you're reading. I love that idea. I think that's great because I can't count how many times people are in their first 5 to 10 matches and I see their stuff getting buried on like Twitter or something.
Yeah,
it's and sucks. It's like you look back, Deonna Purrazzo's like 6th or 7th match was on Impact pay-per-view. Like not everybody like learns that way. And
Ashley Dembois?
Yeah, she was like
her first match ever was on Dark.
It was on Dark, yeah.
That's and she's really good.
She
and
is.
Luckily she did well, but like imagine if your first match ever was on Dark. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so like I had so many little indies to like learn and mess up, and thank God no one saw them. You know, they weren't even recorded, you know, for that matter. So like that's kind of what like the idea behind this. It's a small indie. I got replica belts with stickers on them. Like I'm really like,
I love it.
I'm making it like a real promotion, but it's just for learning purposes. And I'm also the other side of it, so I'm gonna have some of my veteran friends agent in the back.
So oh, that's incredible.
They can learn from them, and then also my friends that may not think that they could have ever done that as a job could get a little bit of experience doing it, and that's maybe something they want to pursue, you know, later on at a much higher level. And I also think that the indies in general could really use agents, and I think that's something that I think indie promotions should start doing, to be honest, is it's because things just become repetitive and people don't learn, and it's not good for wrestling. So that's kind of where the whole idea behind this is.
I once went to an indie, and 3 straight months they brought in their name, right? One month it was Al Snow, 1 month it was Shark Boy, 1 month it was Eugene. I go there and I watch them. Month one, Shark Boy is biting the local guy's ass the whole match, and I'm like, oh, okay. The second month, Al Snow is trying to shove head up the local guy's ass the whole match, and I'm like, wait a minute. The third month, Eugene is there, and I'm like, finally, I'm going to get to see Nick Densmore wrestle. What could he possibly shove up this guy's ass? He spent the whole show shoving his thumb up the local guy's ass. And I was like, oh, all right then. And I was like, you know what? I would like some variety here. Like some variety here. That it's from month to month. And I think that agenting and producing would be valuable, and especially considering that you are contracted to a major company to produce now. I think that's incredible. I love this idea. But encourage you guys to check that out. Ricky Shane Page, thank you so much for taking the time.
No worries, man. Thank you.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.